Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chedi and Induo Rampol Chedi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bible Issues. My name is Dr. Denver Chedi. I'd like to read one verse from the book of 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, "These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. I have written these things to you so you may know you have eternal life." The main purpose why John wrote this particular epistle is to assure genuine believers that they have eternal life and that they could rest confident in that knowledge to provide them with assurance of salvation. But at the same time, John was very careful not to provide false hope to those who were not genuine believers. So his message was sort of like a two-edged sword. On one hand, it gave genuine believers the assurance of their salvation, but it took away any false hope or any misplaced confidence from those who were not genuine believers. Do you know for sure that you have eternal life? If you stood before God, do you know for sure that He would let you spend eternity with Him? A Christian is supposed to have that assurance. A Christian is supposed to know for sure. A Christian is not supposed to doubt or be uncertain. Anybody who told you you could only know if you're going to heaven after you die, that person is wrong. Because 1 John clearly says that you may know you have eternal life. That is knowledge you want to be sure of now. There are three categories of people in the church. There are those who have a healthy assurance of salvation. They understand the gospel, they're genuinely saved, so they are assured of their own salvation. The second group is those who think they're saved and have nothing but a false hope. They think they're saved, but there's absolutely no evidence of salvation in their life. They have what I call a misplaced assurance. I will talk about that group of people next time. But today I want to talk about the third group. That's those people in the church who are lacking assurance. They are not 100% confident that they're going to make it into heaven. They pray the sinner's prayer, they think they're saved, they're active in church, but they have doubts as to whether or not they will go to heaven. And if you are in that category, there are two possibilities. If you lack assurance of salvation, it is possible that you're not genuinely saved, but God is still working on you. The fact that God is putting doubts in you means that He is working on you and trying to draw you to repentance. But there is another possibility. The other possibility is that you are genuinely saved, but you don't know it. You're not confident in it because you lack knowledge and understanding of the gospel. When Jesus talked about the man who sowed seeds, the good ground were those who heard the word and understood it. So it's possible to be a Christian but not have enough understanding of what's going on, what Jesus did for you on Calvary, and what God continues to do for you even now. If you lack an understanding of these things, that could cause a lot of doubts to creep in. The main reason why Christians lack assurance of salvation is because they are conscious of their own sin. They look at their own lives and they see so many shortcomings. They have this continual fear that they will lose their salvation. I even heard a believer say one time, "You know, it is so hard for a Christian to go to heaven." And everybody looked at her, "What?" "Yeah, you know, it is so hard for a Christian to go to heaven because you could live for God all your life and then at the very end you could commit one sin and you wouldn't go to heaven." And it was clear that that person was filled with so much doubt, so much uncertainty because of a lack of understanding of what God has done for us. So I told the person, so why do you think Jesus died? That person did not fully understand what Jesus did for us on the cross. When Jesus died on that cross, he provided salvation free of charge, and he offers it to us as a free gift. By faith you are saved through grace. It is not of works. So it was not based on any good that we have done, any good that we are. It is based on his work on Calvary. And he didn't just stop there. He sent the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says he keeps us by his power. He keeps us from falling. He holds us in the palm of his hands so that nothing shall by any means pluck us out. And the Bible says he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He who started the work in us will finish. So God didn't just save us and leave us. He saved us and he continues to work. He continues to purify. He continues to preserve and to keep. When you got saved, it wasn't a decision you made. You didn't just pray a sinner's prayer. You didn't just answer an altar call. You felt something compelling you to come to Christ. It was a compulsion, because the Bible says no one can come to God unless he draws him. You would have felt that drawing power, and you knew that it wasn't you. It was God doing this work. And the Bible says the same God who started the work will finish it. You see, that is the understanding that many Christians lack. I even heard a preacher, I'm sorry to say, but this was a Bible school teacher, who says he believes that every time you commit a sin, you temporarily lose your salvation. And only when you repent, you get back saved. Now that is totally wrong. That is the opposite of what the Bible says. The Bible says if you sin, you have an advocate. It doesn't say you have a judge. It says you have an advocate. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. That blood didn't just cleanse you from sin once. It continues to cleanse you from sin even when you're sleeping, even when you don't know it, even when you're not conscious of God. That blood is continually at work in your life, because he who started the work will finish it. But many Christians lack that understanding of what God did for us and what God is continually doing for us. People lack assurance of salvation because they look at their own imperfections, and they see that there are certain sins that they struggle with. They think to themselves, how could I be saved when I'm struggling with the same sin over and over? And I'm pretty sure you heard some preacher preach a message to reinforce those doubts. He would say something like, how could you call yourself a Christian and you're committing the same sin over and over again? Now, I agree that if you're continually committing sin, that could mean you're not a Christian. But here's the difference. Here's the difference. A genuine Christian will struggle with it. The Bible says the spirit wars against the flesh. Because we have the old sinful nature and the new nature of God in us, there is that struggle. An unsaved person doesn't have this struggle. They could sin without any conscience bothering them. They could sin without any guilt or condemnation because they have no struggle. But a Christian will struggle. They will try to live right. They may fall short sometimes. And the fact that they fall short, it will convict them. They will struggle and they will hate themselves because of it. Paul experienced that same thing in the book of Romans chapter 7. He talked about how he struggled with lust and covetousness. He didn't spell out the details of what he was lusting and coveting after, but he said he tried. You know, he tried to keep the Ten Commandments. He tried. And every time he tried, something inside him would cause him to do the very opposite of what he wanted to do. He would try to keep the commandments, but in trying, he ended up breaking the commandments. And he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from the body of this death? And then he said, thank God, Jesus Christ will. So even though he had that consciousness of sin that weighed on him, he still had confidence that Jesus was for him and nothing could separate him from the love of God. every Christian will struggle with sin, and that's an ongoing battle. But the struggle is not proof that you're not saved. The struggle is actually proof that you are saved. The fact that you're struggling means that you have the Holy Spirit in you warring against the flesh. If there was no struggle and you could just sin without any conscience bothering you, without any condemnation or guilt, then something is wrong with you. Maybe you're not saved. But if there is a struggle, if there is a desire to live right, then that is proof that the Holy Spirit is in you, working in you. A few years ago, I bought a car, what we call a foreign used car. So we had no control over the color and whatnot. So it came in gray. You know, they call it silver, but there's no silver car. It's gray, right? It's this drab gray color, and I hated the color. I liked the car, but I hated the color. So we took it to a paint shop. I identified this nice metallic shiny green, and I told the paint guy, paint it over in this color. So when the car came back from the paint shop, it had this nice metallic shiny green color to it. Every time I drove it, people would say, aha, Dr. Chedi reached, because we saw the green shiny car. We knew that that car came back from that paint shop changed. It was gray, but now it's green. Now, there were times, in fact, if you look at the car right now at this moment, it probably doesn't look green, because it might be so dirty, it might be so covered in dirt and mud and digested bird food, that when you look at it, it does not appear green. It may appear very dirty or a very dirty green, but that doesn't change the fact. Beneath all the layer of dirt and mud, it is green. And that is how our salvation is. We were one thing, but there came a point in time when you were born again. The Bible calls it regeneration. If any man be in Christ, all things are passed away and all things are become new. That process is called regeneration, when you are born again and there is a dramatic change. That's like when the car was gray, but now it's green. Now, after you're saved, a lot of things may happen. You may sin, repent, confess, repent, sin, and so on. That cycle goes on and on and on. And that cycle is there because we are living in a sinful body. God knows that. When you examine your life, you will always find sin. You will always find shortcomings. You will always find dirtiness. In fact, if you examine yourself and you don't find any sin, then you're not examining yourself properly. You're deceiving yourselves. In the same way, that car will get so dirty at times that it may not look green. We sometimes commit sins and we fall into temptation and we question whether we're saved at all. But if I take that car to a car wash, it will come out bright new, shining green again. So you go to God in prayer. You take all of your sin, you take all of your struggles, and He cleanses you afresh. And all of a sudden, the joy of your salvation has been restored. That joy comes from the assurance and the knowledge that all is well with your soul. And all is well between you and God. You have peace with God. That is how salvation works. That is how Christianity works. The fact that you are dirty, the fact that the car is dirty, doesn't change the fact that it's green. And the fact that you are struggling with sin and condemnation and guilt doesn't change the fact that there was a point in time when you were born again. So I want you to examine your life. Was there a point in time when you were changed, when you were born again? That is the true evidence that you are a Christian. And once you have that, you could be rest assured that God started that work and God will finish it. These things have I written to you that you may know for sure that you have eternal life. If you've missed any of our sermons, feel free to go to our website, BibleIssues.org. That is BibleIssues.org. And you could browse all of our articles and sermons. So God bless you for now, and we'll meet again in 2 weeks.
Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chedi and Induo Rampol Chedi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.